time that we are given to make a presentation on the annual report of MISA. I will introduce the team that is representing MISA today, starting with myself. My name is Themba Dhaka. I am the acting CEO of MISA, having taken office from the 1st of May after the resignation of my predecessor, that is Dr. Sean Phillips, who ended his contract at the end of May. And next to me, I have Ms. Fezeka Stishi. She's the Chief Financial Officer and responsible also for corporate services. And next to her is Mr. Ntandazo Vimba, who is the head of Technical Support Unit, which is one of the core programs of MISA. And then in my far left, it's Mr. Sam Ngobeni, who is the head of Capacity Development, which also is another core program within MISA. So, Chair, it is the four of us that are coming to present the annual report today. Thank you. Chair, I'm not sure if you'd allow just a few remarks, or perhaps you'd prefer that we just go straight to the presentation. Okay, thank you, Chair. Firstly, let me indicate that the report, the annual report that is being presented, it's still in a draft stage, as we had indicated previously, because we don't have a final audit report from the Auditor General. The quality process on the AG report is still being undertaken by Auditor General, and hence, therefore, we're not able to finalize our annual report with a complete and a finalized audit report from the Auditor General. So I thought, let me just indicate that. But we have received an indication from the AG that that audit report will be finalized by or before October this year. So the work is nearing that stage where it will be finalized. And the second remark that I want to make perhaps is that, just to indicate that MISA, of course, is still in that transformational process. As you might have picked up in the presentation of our annual report for this financial year, where much was indicated about the refocusing of MISA. And as part of the refocusing of MISA, of course, it's the review of the organizational structure that has been undertaken, and which was signed off by our minister. And subsequently then we had interactions with DPSA, who had comments on the organizational structure of MISA. And those comments, of course, are related to the functions that are indicated in the structure, which we had to attend to as MISA. And currently we are then finalizing a submission that we are going to send through our minister, so that then we have a final concurrence from DPSA in as far as our structure is concerned. And just to indicate also that as part of the refocusing strategy, MISA has been looking into how best we can do or perform the service that we're supposed to be performing as MISA. And of course, that looks into main focus on infrastructure planning as well as implementation. And of course, that has resulted into the introduction of the PMO, or the Project or Program Management Office, which is facilitated by MISA in collaboration with other sector departments, looking into the 27 priority district municipalities that are prioritized in terms of medium-term strategic framework. So those are some of the innovations or undertakings that MISA has had as part of the refocusing strategy. And of course, that involves also in the way, looking into the way that MISA has been dealing with the deployment of its engineers and town planners and project managers in municipalities, to say that support should be conditionalized. And we have adopted that approach of conditionalizing the support to municipalities, to say it must be for a fixed period and with clear focus on support areas that we need to be looking at. So it's just to indicate some of the improvements that have been done. And of course, making improvements also in our supply chain, in some of the shortcomings that we have had, where we had to make sure that the bid committees that we have are sourced with people that have got appropriate skills and undertaking training for those bid committees, just to make sure that the supply chain area is covered. And Chair, I thought perhaps let me just make a few of those remarks, but the rest really on financial performance as well as the performance on predetermined objectives that will be covered in the presentation. Thank you. Mr. Ngobeni is going to be making the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zaza. And thanks. Yeah, I switched on the video, the one next to me. So, to the chairperson and members of the committee, like the chairperson has already indicated, what I will do here is I will just quickly talk through our presentation, the MISA presentation, but focusing on part A of the presentation, which deals with the predetermined objectives, how MISA performed against the predetermined objectives. It is important to re-emphasize the fact that MISA's mandate is primarily with regard to rendering technical service and or rendering technical advice and support to the municipalities. How do we do that? We do that by supporting municipalities to plan, to deliver, operate, and maintain municipal infrastructure. We also focus on supporting municipalities by strengthening their capacity to plan, deliver, operate, and maintain infrastructure. For the year under review, MISA had four strategic goals, and each strategic goal had its own strategic objectives. With your indulgence, Chair and the committee, I will focus on the core goals, or goals which are linked to MISA's core programs, mainly technical support and capacity building. Those would be strategic goal number two as well as strategic goal number three. If you look at them, you will realize that they have in total three strategic objectives. The technical support one has got one that talks to facilitation of improvements in service delivery by coordinating all sustainable infrastructure and so on, and then the other two pertain to capacity building. So those are the ones that we'll be looking at. And as we assess MISA's performance against the strategic objectives, focus will mainly be on how we performed against the targets which were set for the financial year. We thought it wise to include this slide to indicate to members what we mean by achieved, what is meant by partially achieved, and what is meant by not achieved. And our apologies for the fact that you don't have that slide in the presentation that was sent through late yesterday. But we felt it necessary to clarify. Achievement means having achieved the output 100% or having done more than 100%. That is what we call achievement. In terms of the MISA approved M&E framework, partial achievement means that we have achieved two-thirds or more of the output. And as soon as the more becomes 100, then it becomes achieved. Not achieved will be anything less than 67%. So as we go straight to the slide that talks to the summary of how MISA performed, you will then understand that wherever we have achievement, what it means and what is meant by partial achievement as well as not achieved. The total number of targets that we plan to achieve were 23 in terms of the KPIs. We had 23 of them in total. 18 out of the 23 were achieved, and that constitutes 78%. One was partially achieved, which constitutes 4%, and four were not achieved, that constitutes 18%. Chair, I want to talk to mainly programs 2 and 3, which are our core programs. Programs 1 and 4 are not less important, but I must indicate that those are support functions to the two core programs, the municipal and sectoral technical support, as well as capacity development. If you look at those indicators, the number of targets that we had, or the number of KPIs we had under those two programs, there were 4 plus 7, which means we had 11 of them. And out of those, the one that is program 2, we achieved 100%, and the other one, out of 7, we achieved 5. In actual fact, what it means is that when it comes to MISA's core mandate, we achieved 9 out of 11, which constitutes 82% in terms of actual performance. And there was no indicator or target that was partially achieved. Only 2 targets were not achieved. And these are the 2 targets that we are going to talk to, the 2 targets which were not achieved. And they come from the capacity development program. Chair, if the committee allows me, I will go straight to the 2 programs that we did not achieve, to indicate where the setbacks were under the core programs. The first one was with regard to supporting 60 young graduates towards professional registration. At the beginning of the financial year, we had 35 young graduates in the system. The intention, obviously, was to increase that number to 60 by recruiting more. Earlier on, Mr. Dada spoke about MISA's refocusing strategy. A management decision was taken to not to go on with the recruitment of those learners. We already had a backlog with regard to sending apprentices, which is one of the sub-programs within this core program, sending them for off-the-job training. And in order for us to deal with that backlog, we obviously had to use funds which were supposed to have been utilized for supporting the additional number of young graduates, and then we utilized those funds for sending learners for off-the-job training. And we did very well on that one because we did achieve. It's one of the indicators where we have achieved. So that's where the setback was. It was a management decision that was taken not to pursue that one. The second one which was not achieved was with regard to supporting or giving 170 experiential learners workplace exposure in municipalities. Out of the 170, we only managed to support 42 who were already in the system at the beginning of the financial year. Based on the same decision, which was a management decision, we did not recruit the additional number in order to arrive at 170. Instead, we spent our resources on training apprentices. which is even seated here still a challenge. We still have that backlog in terms of making sure that we send all the apprentices for all the job training and then back to municipalities for workplace exposure. Then we send them back to the FETs for trade testing. So in the main, those are the only two indicators which were not achieved under the two main programs, the core programs. The other ones, like I have indicated, fall within the support services, but I can talk to the last one, which falls under program 4, where the KPI was about conducting program and project evaluations. The intention was to have, was to conduct 4 evaluations, which were going to be evaluations on the programs and projects based or relevant to our core programs. We did not achieve those. In other words, no evaluation was conducted. The reason for that was because we had very serious capacity constraints in the organization as a whole. It was worse because in the monitoring and evaluation unit, there was only one person who at that time was also given the responsibility of acting as the head of corporate and financial services for the whole financial year. And as a result, this program suffered. I have already spoken, Chair, to the overall performance against the targets for the in the financial year, to say our performance for the financial year under review stands at 78%. For the year before that, that was 2015, 14-15, was at 79%. So there is a decline by 1%. Overall, we are saying that as an institution, we have undertaken some measures towards improving performance going forward. We are noting that the overall performance has declined slightly, and we are aware as to where the challenges have been. What we will be going, we will be doing going forward will be, amongst other things, what Mr. Dada has already alluded to, ensuring that the MISA proposed organizational structure is approved, and that will enable us to enhance human resource capacity within the organization. The other thing that will obviously we have started doing based on the preliminary report from the AG will be to finalize the PAP and make sure that we attend to all the issues identified by both the internal audit and the external audit that was conducted. The indicators which were not achieved under Program 1, administration, although I did not go through them, having read the report, you must have realized that they will border between us, that is MISA, and the parent department, the DICOP. We have this so-called shared service arrangement, because as an entity, as a special purpose vehicle for supporting municipalities with infrastructure-related issues, we have been advised to say we shouldn't be looking at ancillary services like HR, IT, and other things. And as a result of that, we have got those indicators not achieved because of the dependencies that we had between ourselves and the department, which relate to, one was about the dashboard for monitoring the back to basic program, and then the other one relating to conducting a skills audit. All those are being given attention by the department with MISA's participation under the shared service model. Mr. Lada, I think I shall have done justice to the predetermined objectives. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If you would allow us then move to Part B, which then is going to be presented by Ms. Fezeka Stichi, who's the CFO. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Lava. Good afternoon, Chair, and the honorable members. One is just to quickly take the members through the financial performance of the organization as at the 31st of March 2016. The allocation for the 2015-16 financial year from National Treasury was 204 million, and we had other receipts that we obtained through management fees. There is a budget eradication program that MISA was acting as an implementing agent on behalf of, initially it was Department of COGSTA in the Northern Cape, and it was later on taken over by Department of Water and Sanitation. So we managed to accumulate 2.3 million as a management fee, as well as tender sales that were made during the period under review, which therefore led us to a balance of 206 million as an income that was generated as at 31st of March 2016. Moving ahead to expenditure, the expenditure that was incurred for 2016 is 291.7 million, of which 55.8 million relates to employee cost. And if you compare the differences on 100,000 to the previous financial year, and it's the variance is mainly due to the learners that passed their trade testing that fall under the capacity building program, which is our program three. Our presentation is talking to the financial statements, and I would take it that the members have gone through the financial statements, but I will provide clarity should there be a need. Moving ahead to depreciation, if you look at the difference for the depreciation last year, we had not amortized our intangible assets because they were not in full use, and therefore in 2015-16 they were in full use, hence the upward increase in depreciation for the 2016 financial year. And there were assets as well that were purchased. The contracted services, when we're talking about contracted services, we're talking about the service providers that assist MISA with professional consulting services. We do have our individual technical consultants that are based out there in municipalities. We also do have our provincial program managers. We also have our public service providers. They constitute part of the contracted services. On our financial statements, they are falling under note number 15. We also have property rentals that the property that we are currently occupying, we are paying rental for it as well. It falls under contracted services as well as security services. And there has been a decline. If we compare 2015 and 2016, there has been a decline because of the contracts that terminated during the 2016 financial year. And some of the technical consultants resigned during the year. Under general services, that one is referenced to note number 16 on our financial statements. It's basically all the general expenses that MISA gets to incur during the year. And there has been an upward movement, and it's mainly because of the training that Mr. Ngobeni alluded to earlier on when he was making a presentation. That KPI that was achieved on the capacity building program. We had an upward spending day close to 30 million because of the backlog that we had to deal with. And therefore, that took us to a net surplus of 14.6 million. On the financial position, under current assets, we had prepayments which are due to rent, and the prepayment that was initially done to IDT, there are services that they were providing on behalf of MISA, and therefore there was a requirement that we must pay them up front. Initially it was a 16 million and then it has gone down to 1.5 million. So at the year end, it's only 1 million that was not only 1 million that was not being supported by supporting documentation so that we can be able to clear that suspense account. And the 500 balance is due to the rent, as per the agreement that we have with our landlord. We must pay our rental in advance, hence the 1.5 million sitting there, as the coroner said. We have receivables from landing stage transactions. In the previous year, we had 7.1 million, and in the current year, we have 700,000, and this is mainly due to bucket eradication program that I've talked to earlier on, that MISA was doing on behalf of Department of Water and Sanitation. Last year, it was reflected as a debtor because MISA had to pay about 6.6 million on behalf of DWS, and therefore this year they managed to pay it back, hence the decline. In our bank, as at year end, we had 52.9 million, of which about 49 million related to the accruals. And I should state to the committee members that MISA operates on accrual basis of accounting, unlike the other normal departments that are operating at modified cash basis of accounting, and therefore our accruals will recognize them as expenditure that has been incurred as at year end. The non-current assets. In the previous financial year, we're sitting at 44.3, and for the period under review, we're sitting at 39.8. It's mainly due to depreciation and amortization of intangible assets, as earlier on indicated. And then the current liabilities as well. In the previous financial year, there's a decline there, which is a good sign, from 33.1. There's actually an upward movement from 33.1 to a 50 million as at 31st of March. And that one is also due to there's a drought relief program that was undertaken around February and March by MISA due to the need that was identified. And therefore that led us to 49.2 million from exchange transactions. And also included in that amount is the amount that, as we know, that we receive our funding through COPTEM. There are payments that they make on our behalf, and therefore we get to refund them. So part of that amount was accrued to COPTEM. And then our operating lease liabilities. As at 2015, we had 1.3, and at the current year, we're sitting at 800,000. And our lease is actually ending with the current landlord in December 2017. The next slide of cash flow is just trying to show the members the reconciliation between our bank. The opening balance that we had at the beginning of the financial year was 14.3, and of which we had debtor of DWS sitting at 6.6 million. And our own cash sitting at 7.7 million, and therefore received the receipts of 327 and made payments of 279, leaving us with a balance of 52.9, which was indeed reconciling with our bank statements. The next slide is talking to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. On that one, the previous financial years we had incurred fruitless and wasteful expenditure due to medical aid. As the members are aware that we took over from DBSA, and there was an agreement that was there when it comes to the learnership program that we pay medical aids on behalf of the learners. And as when they pass the trade test, therefore the contract will be terminated. So there was just a problem with the timing difference, of which that was since sorted out due to internal controls that were implemented. As you can see that in the period under review, we don't have that fruitless and wasteful expenditure relating to medical aid. In 2015-16, SARS decided to recalculate the charges, the penalties that they had billed against MISA in 2014-15. That one was due to late payments of third-party payovers that were deducted from the employees. What basically happened on that one is that it's also an issue of timing difference. MISA would pay, but then it will reflect later at SARS, and therefore SARS would declare that one as a late payment, and they started to charge interest. We did try to appeal. Unfortunately, we did not win that one, and then in the period under review, they decided to recalculate again, and they came up with an amount of 236.9. There were no several overpayments in the period under review, and therefore the balance for the 2015-16 financial year, when it comes to frivolous and wasteful expenditure, is sitting at 236,000. The next slide is talking to irregular expenditure. The first category of our regular expenditure relates to MIPMIS. MIPMIS is an IT system that was developed on behalf of MISA to record assets that are in municipalities, and it was going to assist the municipalities so that we can have one system, one software that all municipalities are using to record their assets, their infrastructure assets. What basically happened on this one is that there was a correspondence that came through from National Treasury that was indicating that MISA must operate more like a trading entity. So MISA, more like a trading entity, so MISA, therefore, when they read the legislation, it implied that we must operate more like a public entity, and we must not go via CETA when we're procuring. As you look at the CETA Act, as well as the securities that are explaining the Act, that is a non-mandatory service for CETA. However, AJ indicated that it should be recorded as a regular expenditure because CETA was not involved. So that's the only leg that makes that system to fall under irregular expenditure. We have, however, contacted CETA and National Treasury with the aim of actually condoning that irregular expenditure, and we are in the process of condoning. And therefore, the next step relates to tenders that were not advertised for 21 days. On that one, the regulation does allow the organs of state to advertise for a shorter period, provided that the accounting officer has approved. However, after advertising, you need to notify National Treasury as well as the Office of the Auditor General. So there were submissions that were approved by the accounting officer, but the latter part was not attended to, hence we're having that one, and we're also in the progress of condoning. There is no loss to the state when it comes to both categories that I've talked to. Three written quotations, we don't have any regular expenditure in that category for the current period under review. And therefore, that takes me to professional fees and travel invoices signed without delegated authority. On that one, it was later condoned. It was an in-control, an internal control arrangement that was done between a program manager and one of the colleagues. And therefore, it was later discovered that it should not have been done, that hence it was quickly condoned during the financial year. And no loss was incurred to the state in that regard as well. The next one is the IT services not procured through CETA. That one is a service provider that we have in-house that is assisting us with our that is assisting us with our IT services. And therefore that took us to a balance of 136 million for 2015-16 financial year. The budget for the year under review was 604, as previously indicated. And other administration costs were sitting with 74.3 million, of which we actually managed to spend 61.8 million. The next one is on contracted services. We had a budget of 159 million, and we overspent on that one by 7.6 million. Under employee costs, we had a budget of 66.5 million, and my apologies, I'm being corrected.
I just think that is the interim report. We met with the Office of the Auditor General. She explained to us why. In fact, I think she was almost saying it is on their side, really, not on your side. I think she was very thorough in explaining the whole issue. I'm not sure whether I would assist us to go page by page on finances, one or two. Generally, when you brief committees of parliament, those who are not auditors, it's really a high-level briefing, because many of them, they can read and write. Very few, I'm not sure there's any member of parliament who can't read and write nowadays. Some that I expect in many other areas. It's just to take us to a high level. All the minute details really belong to you as a staff to sort it out. Generally, is to tell us about what is the status of the account, what are the major problems, how do you see this thing going forward, that is MISO, and then how do we then work in a manner that assists us to go to the chamber and give a comprehensive report on all entities under the department. I think if you go page by page, rand by rand, will consume much of your time unnecessarily. I think we have already made a presentation on this and also a briefing detailed by the Office of the Auditor General. I think Elise. Is that Elise? Is that Elise that was briefing us? I think she took us through really in detail what are the problems on this matter. I would prefer to give more time to members because they've read it. Information just to pose questions to you that are pointing what are the critical areas that they see in this matter. But of course, you can conclude if you have not taken through. I'm just worried because it's a very thick document that I have here. If the one that you are following will take a little bit longer than expected, and then members won't have sufficient time to pose questions and address some of the issues. Okay, you can do that.
Chair, I think let me just conclude by saying the biggest challenge that MISA is faced with is the issue of capacity constraints, and of which on that one, as Mr. Ladler has alluded to earlier on, that there is a revised structure that is we've been engaging with DPSA pending their concurrence. As soon as that one is implemented, I'm sure will show a much more pleasant picture. Otherwise, the finances, even though AJ has not actually concluded, they are indicating that our common concern is on the right direction. Thank you very much. Yes. So far, we're sitting at unqualified. Yes, for the past 3 years.
Thanks, Chair. There are a number of grey areas, Chair, that one would love to deal with, particularly on the financial part. But I want to make a recommendation, Chair, that we were aware that the report it's not yet officially a final report to us. We wanted just to have this report so that we can climatize ourselves when we are also dealing with our own BRRR issues. That let's take this report, Chair, to assist ourselves other than to engage it and wait for the AG report. That would be a final one to engage it. I'm afraid, Chair, to engage not a complete report. That's my recommendation, Chair, that let's note the report and accept it. Because if you look at some of the issues like your fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there's still not improvement. I don't know what the AG final report will say up until now. That's my recommendation, Chair, that let's note and thank the report, and it's going to assist us when we are preparing our BRRR when it comes to MISA, when it comes to MISA position. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, I have to respectfully disagree with my colleague. Inasmuch as it's an interim report, and we can acknowledge that it's an interim report, the issue that we have to deal with is that we have to work with this information, the information that we have at hand, in preparing our BRRR, which is why we insisted that MISA and SELGA come to us before we finalise the BRRR recommendations tomorrow. So I have to respectfully disagree. We have to engage this report, because we have to say, this is working, this is not working, where do we go from here, what do we need to do?
Madam, the floor is open for engagement.
Chair, thank you. I'm just putting on record the position that we have to take this as
I know that you can write it down also.
Okay, I'll put it
a
in writing too.
A very long letter, I'd appreciate that. But no, Ted was making a view, making a proposal, expressing his view. I think we call MISA and FEB because we want to finalize the issues with them.
Thank you, Chair.
Before we finalize our report on Friday. You can pose the question. I think they are equal to the task. They will answer the questions, put the view that you want to put.
Thank you, Chair. I have really just one question, and it relates specifically to the financials and specifically to irregular expenditure. Now, if I take a look at the slide 32, take a look at slide 32, Chair. 136 million of MISA's 291 million expenditure was irregular. That's a huge percentage. It's 49%, 46% of your total expenditure is irregular in one way or another. I realize that there has not been wasteful expenditure. I realize there has not been a loss to the state. However, irregular expenditure is bad, and it's not something that you can just condone away. The fact that you condone it doesn't mean that it didn't happen. So if you add in that 26 million rand, it takes you up to 56% of your total expenditure was irregular. And some of these things are avoidable. If the department, if MISA puts in place, if the agency puts in place proper control measures, proper checks and balances. I give you examples of the tender not being advertised for 21 days and I accept your explanation that it can be for a shorter period, although shorter periods have impact, and you're talking 113 million rand that you're not allowing a proper advertising period to take place. If you're spending that kind of money, surely you plan it in advance and you make sure that you have a proper advertising period so that people are notified, so that there's no comeback on your expenditure. I accept the explanation that you are allowed, that you can, as the accounting officer say, can be for a shorter period. But I don't accept the explanation that you then didn't notify National Treasury, that you didn't notify the Auditor General. Because that's part of the function of being the accounting officer of a government entity. without delegated authority. 26 million rand. And 26 million rands worth of travel expenditure that someone who was not authorized to sign it, signed. That's actually not irregular, that's unauthorized expenditure. If it's not signed by the correctly delegated authority, it's classified as unauthorized expenditure. Yes. So, my concern here is that the checks and balances in MISA are sadly lacking. And I'd really welcome some input from the agency as to exactly how they are going to address those checks and balances. What steps they are taking, because if I look at the previous year, it's almost the same. So there's obviously been nothing done since the prior year's annual report, where we had 34 million rands worth of tenders not advertised properly, 500,000 rands worth of written quotations not obtained, and so on and so forth. What is MISA doing to correct this, Chair?
The goal of Chairperson is basically the same. And it's a bit of a problem. Because we must stick to the basics and just try and do things right. Just to repeat the list. I mean, it's an unidentified expenditure, tenders not advertised. How do you give a tender without having advertised? The written quotation requirements not met, no bid committee sitting. Evaluation not done as advertised. IT services not procured, etc., etc. See, the problem with Chairperson is that I agree with the view that we must wait until the report is tabled formally and then have a discussion. But the appointments that are really taking us in the wrong kind of direction, which we must really reflect on. And I'm not saying that we should spend the whole day discussing this report. But the basics, whatever we mean, the basics must be addressed. If we fail to address the basics, this organization is not going anywhere. It won't even do a fraction